Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, touch those who are hurting, those who are in flood conditions, Lord. We pray your safety, Father. We just thank you, Lord, tonight, for just speaking through us, Lord, and to us as we minister tonight, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you, and we know that there is no other God besides you, Father. And because of what we know about you, Father, we can stand on you, Father. We can push all of our lives on you, Father. Our life is on you, Father, because we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we believe your word, Father, that you have all power. You're in control, Father. And I just thank you for what you've done in our lives, Father. Give us everything that you are, Father. And we glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. And we just ask you to have your way. This is your program. This is not our program. We're here to glorify you before a world that is turned upside down, Father. We're trying to turn it right side up. Thank you, Father, for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. He is good. Brother Shannon?
Yes. Well, I'm going to take my text from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. So follow along with me in your Bible. I'm going to be ministering about the human name of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus. And here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the generation. Now notice this, of Jesus Christ. No greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. Notice this, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This verse talks about the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He didn't commit one sin. Jesus is God, is come in the flesh. Here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, talking about Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, meaning salvation. He is the healer, the Holy Spirit baptizer, and the soon coming King. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And it goes on and says, for he shall save their sins. That was why Jesus came into the earth, knowing that he would go to the cross and shed his all-powerful blood and die, and they put him in the tomb, and on the third day, God would raise Jesus from the dead. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Jesus is the King of the Jews. He said, for we have seen his star in the east. Now notice the last part of this verse. And are come to worship him. We should worship the King of the Jews. His name is Jesus. God the Son Jesus, the second person of the divine Trinity. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, it says, and Jesus saith unto him. Notice, this is the humanity, Jesus. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he's called the Son of Man here, has not where to lay his head. Talking about the humanity of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 19, it says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. In other words, the disciples followed Jesus, and we should be followers of Jesus. That's who we should look to, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And in John, Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, says, the next day, John sees Jesus, this is John the Baptist, coming unto him and saith, this is what John the Baptist said about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Notice it, which takes away the sin of the world. Only the blood of Jesus, only Jesus can wash away sin. There is no other sacrifice. Only Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. And in John chapter 1, verse 41, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And it goes on and says, which is
being interpreted the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. And in John chapter 4, verse 25, he said, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Well, this woman at the well didn't know that she was talking to the Christ, Messiah, the only one that could forgive her of her sin, the one that knew all about her and loved her and willing to forgive. Jesus knows all about us, and he loves us. And in John chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "Jesus saith unto her, Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, Master. Not only is Jesus our Savior, not only is Jesus the King of the Jews, not only is Jesus Lord, not only is he the Son of Man and the Son of God, but Jesus is Master. And Master means we do what he asks us to do. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ," notice the last part of this, these words, "our Lord." Notice this, Jesus Christ, our Lord, "which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh," talking about the humanity of Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "And so it is written, Adam was made a living soul." Talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Two more scriptures and I'll be done. In Revelation 5:5 says, "And one of the elders saith unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Talking about Jesus. "The root of David." Talking about the humanity of Jesus. "Has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Jesus is worthy to be praised. Jesus is worthy to be worshipped. And in Revelation 22:16, the last verse, he says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." Jesus is our everything. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Well, you heard about the humanity of Jesus, and I want to turn it back over to my brother.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for the word. Powerful word.
Wait a minute, I come in church for one going through something right now. The reason why the devil is fighting you the way he is, because you're just blessed like that. But know this,
when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We come to let you know that the devil don't like it, but you're blessed like that.
north, south, east, and the west. But instead, his foot got crushed, fell by the donkey's truck.
Man, are you blessed? The devil don't like it because we are blessed. I want to talk tonight about being born again. When we talk about being born again, we're talking about going back to the original state in which God made man. In Genesis 1 and 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let him have dominion over everything." So Adam was made like God. God breathed himself inside of this dirt, and Adam became a living soul. In other words, his mind, will, and emotion became like God. He was alive. He was a spirit with a soul, which is his mind, will, and emotion, living in a physical body. And when Adam sinned, he fell from God. He died to God that day. God told him, the day that you eat of this tree, the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. That day, Adam died spiritually to the Lord. He didn't want God anymore. He ran from God. And he needed to be redeemed. God out of the Garden of Eden because he could not stand rightness and holiness and perfection that was in the Garden of Eden. So God threw him out of the Garden of Eden. And down through generation after generation, God prepared a redeemer for Adam and for us. And I want to look at the third chapter of St. John, starting at the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, but no one can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was one of the rulers in Israel. He instructed them in the law. But when it's amazing how they studied the law and studied about God, but when God came to planet Earth in a human body, they didn't recognize him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again. Adam had to be reborn. Born again. Had to be born like he was born. In other words, God had to bring him back alive spiritually because he died spiritually. Did you know that Adam lived over 900 years physically? But that day, he died spiritually. So it tells Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Here's a man teaching the law, teaching the things of God. But Jesus says, you've got to be born again. I know how that is. I was a deacon on the board at a church, and I went to church early that day, and I met Jesus. Even though I was a deacon on the board, president of Brotherhood, part of the Sunday school, even teaching Sunday school. But that day, I found God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That day, I knew I was saved. The third Sunday in 1973, I came to know the Creator and the Redeemer and the Holy Spirit that day. And I have never been the same again. This is what he's talking about, born again. In other words, your positions don't make you right. You only get right when God comes to live inside of you. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? How can this be? I mean, this was foreign to him. This is a foreign language. How can I be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born? I mean, this was a shock. Jesus was sounding something that he couldn't comprehend. Jesus was talking in a heavenly language, and Nicodemus could only hear in the flesh. Jesus answered, verily, verily I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you be born of water and of the Spirit. What is the water? According to Ephesians 5 and 26, the water is the word. Except you hear the word. I am the word. Except you accept the word that is taught by the Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, no one will call Jesus a curse by the Spirit of God. And no one will say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God has to be preached. And the Holy Spirit has to reveal that word unto us. Now notice what he says in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is not the first birth. But the spiritual birth, when God breathed inside of Adam, Adam became a living soul. His spirit was alive to God. He knew who his creator was. And he had relationship with his creator. He could worship and praise his creator, because he was alive to him. This is what Jesus is saying to him. When you're born of the Spirit, you come back into relationship with God the Father and me, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit. something he says here, right here. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? What is this you're telling me? You know, I'm an intelligent man. I even teach this law. I even teach about God. But you're telling me something that is foreign to me. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that we do know and testify we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You can't grasp what I'm saying, and I'm talking to you in your language. Do if I was talking to you in a heavenly language. And he says right here in verse 13, no, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, I come down to redeem you. I come down to stand in your place because you're not worthy to stand before my Father. I come down to stand in your place. Jesus came down to be sin for us so we could be the righteousness to God. So the wrath of God would pass us by. It's kind of like in Egypt when they put the blood on the top of the door and on the sides of the door. Then the death angel couldn't pass by, couldn't come in. See, when the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives, I want you to know that the wrath of God passes by. That wrath that would have sent us to hell passed by because of Jesus. That blood represented we was righteous, our righteousness. Jesus became sin. He took our sins upon himself, and he gave us his righteousness. That's why we are going to heaven. We're not going to heaven because we're good. We're going to heaven because God made us right. He made us good because he had to make Jesus bad, had to make him sinful in order to make us righteous. That's why we're going to heaven, because it's by God's grace, not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We work because we love God, not because it gets us to heaven. That's good news. In verse 14 it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The reason Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the children of Israel were complaining about things. And God allowed the serpents, the snakes, to go into the camp and bite them. lifted up the serpent, made a serpent on a cross. Those who looked at the serpent on the cross were saved. Now Jesus Christ is that, he is the Redeemer on the cross now. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. He was talking about his own death. All during his ministry talked about his own death and the resurrection from the dead. Good news. Good news that we have been redeemed. Verse 15 says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who will look upon Jesus, those who will accept Jesus Christ, those who will listen to the Spirit of God proclaim that God's Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us in John 6 and 44, Jesus says, no one will come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last days. 45 says, and they shall all be taught by God. And he who have learned and heard of the Father will come to me, and I will raise him up at the last days. God is revealing Jesus Christ unto us. And when he does, there's an itch inside of us we can't scratch. All the drugs in the world will not scratch that itch. All the sex in the world will not scratch that itch. All the alcohol in the world will not scratch that itch. All of the pleasurable places you can name will not scratch that itch. Only Jesus Christ will take care of that. One of the familiar verses we all quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is our hope. Can you stand on this? Can you put your life on what Jesus Christ did on your behalf? Then you can have eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is our salvation. The world don't want to hear about Jesus because their eyes have been blinded by the lies of Satan. But I'll tell you, if you come to God, you'll have to go through Jesus. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through me.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him. Thank you.
Let us worship our God. As we look a little bit more out of the third chapter of St. John, you know, we started talking about Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. He was asking questions inside of himself. He knew that there was something different about Jesus, because Jesus was doing some things that only God could do. But Jesus told him he had to be born again. He had to go back to the original state in which God made Adam. He had to have God inside of him in order to operate on planet Earth like he was made to operate on. You see, we weren't made to operate on Earth like we do. We weren't made to be sinful. We were made to be righteous and holy and perfect. That's why we are miserable, because our spirit man was dead. That which was holy, righteous, and perfect was dead. And we tried everything we could to bring back that goodness and that perfect will of God. We tried drugs. We tried alcohol. We tried sex. We tried everything to try and bring back that which made us happy. But in order to get back to that state, we got to be born again. We've got to be born again. We've got to be born after God. God has got to be able to put himself back inside of us and bring our spirits alive to him. We must be able to have that relationship again, that intimacy with God, where God becomes our glory. That's what born again means. We go back to the original state in which we were made. You see, carbon copies don't work too good. They don't work like the original copy. You know, if you had a will and you wanted to probate that will, you can't use a copy to have the original will in order to probate it. So God wanted us to be like the original. In other words, we can't go to church and get it. We can't just start being good and get it. There's nothing we can do to get this. We had to have a perfect God living inside of us. Amen. Born again means that we have God, the perfect God living inside of us. That's what born again, that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. All of the good you're doing is not good enough. Thing you think is right is not good enough. But God has to come back inside of you and breathe life into your spirit, so your spirit can become a living person again. And then as your spirit comes alive, it begins to start teaching your mind, it starts teaching your will how to desire the things of God. Start teaching your emotions how to operate on earth like Jesus. It starts bringing you to a spiritual awakening. You begin to wake up into heavenly places from the earth. In other words, Jesus said that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spiritual is spiritual. So when you become born again, even though you're living in this fleshly body, you are no longer alive to the world anymore. Even though this fleshly body is walking on earth and you're inside of it spiritually, you're no longer a slave to the earth anymore because you have come alive to heaven. So your senses and everything just start opening up to the spiritual world versus the fleshly world. And you began to access the things of God because you become spiritual again. The most miserable people in the world are those who are alive spiritually but have not learned how to live in heaven. Now let me say that again. Those who are alive spiritually because they've been born again, but they don't know how to live or access heavenly things. Paul says in Ephesians 1 and 3, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. In other words, we can't access that which is ours. We can't enjoy what's ours down here on earth because we don't believe we deserve those things on earth. We're waiting till we get to heaven so we can have all these things. But all of those things belong to you right now. You can enjoy love. You can enjoy joy, long-suffering with joy. You can enjoy goodness. You can enjoy gentleness. You can enjoy meekness. You can enjoy all of God right here on earth. Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to bring the environment of heaven to earth. Jesus said to us that we are the lights of the world. In other words, we are the heaven on earth. Amen. We are the heaven on earth. So the world needs to see heaven in order for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Amen. They need to see heaven in us. They need to see that peace, that joy, that love, that kindness, that meekness, that long suffering with joy and peace. Oh my God, they need to see God in us. They need to see God in us. Oh my God. That's what he said in verse 18 in chapter 3 of John. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, when you reject Jesus, you reject the Father. You can never go to the Father without Jesus, because the Father sent Jesus to redeem you. God sent Jesus to die on the cross. He became sin so we could be made righteous. So when you bypass Jesus, when you reject Jesus, you reject your righteousness. In other words, somebody, you're starving to death, and somebody walks by and they're showing you where the food is. And you reject the person who's showing you where the food is. So guess what? By rejecting the person who knows where the food is, you reject the food also. So you take upon yourself to starve because you can't follow the person who knows where the food is. In other words, by rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting the cross, Christ, rejecting the resurrection of Christ, you can't get to eternity. you about the Father, because you don't believe he knows about, because you just looking at a physical body. You're looking at him from the natural, because you're dead in the natural. But somehow when God the Father began to reveal Jesus Christ, there would be such a storm inside of you that would start provoking you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is Lord, and God the Father raised him from the dead. I'm telling you, when God starts revealing this to you, there will be a storm between good and evil inside of you. Just like the tree in the Garden of Eden, the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, when God starts dealing with your heart, when God starts revealing Jesus Christ to you, it will create a storm inside of you. In other words, just like Jacob and Esau was in the womb of Rebekah, and God said there's two nations there, and they were fighting inside of her. Let me tell you, when God starts revealing Jesus to you, there is a fight inside. There's two nations inside of you. There's a nation of unrighteousness, and there's a nation of righteousness. And they are fighting, they are wrestling in there, because God has just revealed to you that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, and the devil is trying to stop you from accepting this Jesus. But guess what? The power of the resurrection, the power of the cross that God the Father reveals to you, has power over unrighteousness. And you break through, and you say, Jesus, you are the Lord. Jesus, you are my Redeemer. And somehow when you hear that word, you begin to put all that you are upon that promise. Upon that promise, for God so loved the world, you began to put everything you got upon that promise. For God so loved the world. That word so says he is so high that you can't go over. He is so wide you can't go around him. He is so deep you can't go under him. When you hear, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It starts stroking your spirit, starts reviving your spirit. In other words, God begins to breathe into the nostrils of your dead spirit. He began to bring it alive. It comes alive. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and 1, you had he brought alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You used to be there, but now you have come alive to the Creator. My God, you come alive to the Creator because you heard the word and God revealed that word to you, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with your heart, and you began to call Jesus Lord, and you began to believe that God the Father raised him from the dead, and you take on the robe of righteousness, like the prodigal son. When he came home, his father said, put a robe around him. Amen. I know he's been gone. I know all of the things he's done, but I don't remember him anymore. Put the robe of righteousness on him and put the robe of forgiveness on him. Whatever he needs, that robe will take care of it. other words, he left here. He left here. And he went and wasted all that he had. But guess what? When he came home, his father gave him all that he had. So when you come to God, you might have lost everything you had. But when you come to him, he gives you everything that he has. That's good news. I thank God for bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light. I thank God that I can stand on that promise. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad I can stand on that rock, because that is the rock that when I close my eyes in death, that is the rock that my built on, that when I open my eyes again, I will be in the arms of God. That is my hope, that Jesus Christ came from heaven, born of a virgin. Jesus Christ preached on earth. Jesus Christ was beaten. Jesus Christ was crowned with a 72-thorn crown. Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And Jesus Christ stayed in the grave one day. Jesus Christ stayed in the grave 2 days. Jesus Christ stayed in the grave 3 days. And after the third day, Jesus resurrected, declaring, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus, the champion, he beat the devil. He took back the championship that Satan stole, that Satan manipulated Adam out of. Jesus took it back for us. Father, we thank you tonight that we are no longer bound. We have been set free because of the cross of Jesus. Brother, set us free because he loved us unconditionally. And I want to thank you, Father, tonight that you have given us a new lease on life. You have given us a new hope that your promises will never fail. And we will never fail because we're going to stay in your promises. Thank you, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done. Because it's the name of Jesus that you have given us. You have given us a lot.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord our God, and we sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and we shout glory, glory, glory to the King of
my faith, my Redeemer, my brother, and my Lord. Thank God for you being here tonight. And I pray tonight that you are able to put your life on this promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray that you can stand on that promise. May God bless you. Good evening.